Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
A time for a trip down memory lane. This week, 35 years ago, a video game console was launched into the world. And it took gaming to the masses. It helped launch the multi-billion dollar industry gaming is today. And it was, of course, the Game Boy, which was released, get this, in Japan on April the 21st, 1989. It's gone on to be the fourth most popular console in the world ever, with 120 million sales. Here's an old school ad for it.
They said it wasn't humanly possible. All the power and excitement of Nintendo right in the palm of your hand. Introducing Game Boy. It's portable, it's in stereo, and its games are interchangeable. Game Boy comes complete with batteries and the outrageous new game, Tetris. And for head-to-head competition, use Video Link and blow your opponent away. Game Boy, only from Nintendo. Now you're playing with power, portable power.
How good is that? That is just all killer, no filler. They said it wasn't humanly possible. The outrageous new game, Tetris. Anyway, it would, of course, eventually be surpassed by newer and faster and better consoles, but the cultural impact the original Game Boy made cannot be questioned. It is indeed still sought after today, with original games and the console itself selling for hundreds or thousands. We typo there, hundreds or thousands of dollars in some cases. To help us unpack the Game Boy's legacy and talk about why it still has such a place in many gamers' hearts, I'm joined now by retro game collector Jared Hayes, who also goes by Polished Gaming on YouTube and Instagram. Jared, kia ora, thanks very much for joining us this evening.
Hey, how's it going?
It is going just great, thank you. Do you remember the first time you laid eyes on a Game Boy?
Yeah, it was around about when I was 8 years old. I got a hands in mine from my parents, and I pretty much never put it down when I had it for years. I used to play the Tetris that got bundled in with it, and it was just an amazing game.
The outrageous new game. How good was that ad? Did that take you down memory lane a little bit?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely was one of those kind of games that it was an amazing system.
What would you say is its legacy among the pantheon of video game consoles? Because I guess, you know, one of its big selling points was its portability, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, handheld gaming was kind of, they had Game & Watch before this, but the Game Boy was just in a league of its own, you know, amazing games, and it was just easy, accessible, and easy to play.
What do you think contributed to it being such a big success, though? Surely, you know, you can have all of the marketing that you like, and you can have your cool ads with your awesome music in the background, but it comes down to the games in the end, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of it, you know, Nintendo at that time was in a league of their own. You know, no one was really challenging them in anything. But when it came down to it, it was just the portability of it, the fact that it used, absolutely no power when it came down to it. So batteries lasted ages. I think it was the portability and the fun and the games in it, like Zelda, Super Mario, you know, you can name so many, Metroid.
Yeah. I mean, I was reflecting on this earlier, and I said earlier in the program, I genuinely shudder to think at how many hundreds of hours I would have poured into Pokemon Blue. I mean, what was your, like, what was your mainstay Game Boy game? I mean, Donkey Kong would have been up there too, I would think.
Yeah, well, to be honest, it was mainly, it was actually a bit of an obscure title called Maru's Mission. I got it while I was overseas with my parents, and they got it in, when we were in America, and I played absolute hell of it, but it was just, but mainly I used to play a lot of Super Mario Land. That was one of my favourites. Oh, yeah. I kind of didn't get into the Pokemon because of that was more, I jumped out of that era after it, but I've got a lot of the Pokemon games now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, is it fair to say that the Game Boy is kind of a, like a non-gamer's console that actually appealed to people who hadn't owned, you know, who didn't go down to the video game arcade and who didn't have an Atari in their rumpus room, you know, maybe who hadn't even played video games before because of the simplicity of it, I suppose.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, my brother was, he was in the game too much, and he didn't have anything like Atari. Systems to the kids and stuff like this, but he never physically played it. But that was one of the only systems that he actually really loved, Tetris, and would play it all the time. Same as my mum, she used to play it all the time as well.
Did you see that someone beat Tetris like a month or so ago?
I did hear that, yeah. It was something in the news. I actually didn't think the game was physically beatable.
Yeah,
I thought it would
I.
just continue ending, yeah, continue going over and over.
Yeah, wild. Now, you, Jared, are a collector of retro games.
Yeah.
What is the demand for those old-school Game Boys actually like?
At the moment, it's quite a bit of a fluctuating market, just in the sense of, you know, the recession coming in and everything like that. It started to kind of, it had quite a peak for a while there, and it's starting to kind of noticeably go down a little bit lately. But it's all depending really on the day. A lot of collectors, as myself, are looking for the inbox of all the original pamphlets and everything like that, and as good condition as possible, and that's when the money starts to go up.
Right. So what are, like, the most, you know, the most in-demand sort of consoles or indeed games in the gaming collection world?
To be honest, Nintendo has always kind of had a thing that the collectors like to say Nintendo tax. It always seems to keep its value. Yeah, it just retains its value. They've always had some AAA titles on their systems that don't go onto other systems, so I think that's where they get the market quite right.
Right. Well, I mean, Nintendo has sort of always been on a bit of a tear, right? Like, they're just absolute visionaries in this kind of space.
Yeah, definitely leagues above others. I mean, Sega was amazing at one point, but it's just Nintendo has always been successfully great.
Why do you think that is? Because, you know, and getting back to the Game Boy, you know, it's had such enduring success. It has, you know, pretenders have come and gone, but, you know, Nintendo and the Game Boy have sort of persisted. Why do you think competitors like the Game Gear, Sega's the Game Gear, didn't really make inroads into this market?
I think mainly with the Game Gear. I mean, Game Gear and the Atari Lynx and the TurboGrafx, they were all colour, but I think it was mainly the fact that it was just so simplistic. I think really Nintendo just hit it out of the park with how simplistic it was, and that's all it was needed. It was just play and go, you know, go and play anywhere, and it was just so easy. Whereas I think the Atari Lynx and Game Gear and all of that kind of started pushing a little bit of the boundaries in it, and it kind of lost the appeal for certain people. Like, as you say, the people that don't game, they just love the system because it was so family orientated.
Tell us a bit about your sort of broader collection. How big is your collection of retro gaming consoles and games, and how long have you actually been collecting for?
I've been on and off for around about probably maybe 15 years, but mainly I started collecting heavily in about 6 years ago. And at the moment, my games are sitting around about 4,300, I think, plus. I think I've just about hit 4,400. And my consoles are there, I think, around about in the, I think, 80, because there's a lot of peripherals in there and stuff like, I collect controllers and consoles, but a lot of variant consoles and stuff.
Wow. That's amazing. Where do you keep them all?
To be honest, I've already started running out of room. I've got two rooms just in the back of the house here that I use there. Not too much. I'd say maybe a 1.5, maybe 2 meter by 2 meter. And it's just, I've really kind of have run out of space, but it's still, I tend to still buy and I still kind of, I shoehorn it in places.
Yeah.
So
you find a way. Find a way, exactly. Make it work. If you had to give all of it away except for one thing, maybe one console, and you get to keep all of the games with the console as well, what would you keep?
Oh, that is to be honest, I'd probably have to go with my Sega Master System, just because that was the one that held so true when I was young. Because I was a Sega, Nintendo wasn't really big in New Zealand for certain people, so.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.